Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Chris Yelland is an energy analyst, and we've asked him to take us through how can Eskom's power utilities be put to use to prevent further load shedding. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, and good morning to your listeners.
So, it wasn't a great weekend for news in South Africa, and the fact that we now know that a whole bunch of power production facilities can't be fixed at this stage because of money just makes things a lot worse. Take us through your thoughts on this.
Well, just to say, Howard, there is, of course, money. But it's a question of having to prioritize how that money is going to be spent. So you may have noticed recently that Eskom paid back quite a bit of its debt. So it did have money to do that. And I suppose that that was considered to be the priority, maybe taking advantage of the strengthened rand and therefore reducing effectively the cost of debt, reducing the amount that they would have to pay back in dollars because of the strength of the rand. So the point is, there is money, but there are priorities, and prioritization takes place. But getting to this question of generation units that are currently in what is known as cold reserve. What this means is that there's a generator unit or a number of generator units that have been taken out of service. Now, they haven't yet been decommissioned because the cost of decommissioning is quite high. But they get put into so-called cold reserve, which basically means they can be brought back into service, theoretically, within a period of time. I'm not sure exactly what the time is that Eskom sets, but it's either 6 months or a year, so that these units cannot be brought back immediately. Therefore, they're not considered to be available. They're not available for service, but they could become available with a bit of money and a bit of work to get them back into service. The question we're asking at the moment is, why is Eskom not bringing these back into service? Because we're having load shedding intermittently. We're also running the open cycle gas turbines a lot these days, which is very, very expensive to run, more than 3 rand a kilowatt hour. And there's talk of, of these so-called car power ships, which would be generating for the next 20 years. If we've got generating units that are there, that could be brought back into service within 6 months to a year, which is a similar sort of time scale of bringing this 2,000 megawatts under the risk mitigation IPP program, or the 1,200 megawatts from the car power ships. Why is Eskom not bringing these things that are in cold reserve back into service if they say they can do so within 6 months to a year? So those are the sort of questions that are being asked.
Can you speculate as to why?
Yeah, my speculation is the things are not rosy, as Eskom may be sort of pointing out, that these units that have been put into cold reserve may not be able to be brought back within 6 months to a year. They've been put into cold reserve, but they don't want to decommission them yet because that costs extra money. So they're sitting in cold reserve, but they're not really able to bring them back. And the reasons for this may be that they're just so old and inefficient that it's not worth bringing it back, that they're going to suffer, breakdowns so often. The other thing, too, is that when you put something into cold reserve, comes a prime target
for pirating of spares.
Yeah.
Well, I think pirating of spares is a very, very lovely way of putting it. I would call it wholesale theft. Can you imagine what anybody who's left anything lying around in South Africa knows that we are the sort of recycle kings of the world? You just wonder what's left there.
Yeah, look, of course, cable and copper and all kinds of stuff that has some value for sure, even if it's just scrap metal. But not only that, Eskom, let's just say you have a particular power station on Kamati or Grootvlei or one of these old plants where there are a couple of units in cold reserve. They've also got other units at the same power station that are identical, that are also getting old and breaking down. And can you imagine the temptation, you know, when one of your better units is broken down and you need to spare, but these are such old power stations, the spares, you can't buy them anymore. So you've got these ones in cold reserve. They form a nice pool of spares that you can take from there to fix the other units that are in operation. So not only, you know, Eskom taking spares, but, you know, maybe Eve's taking spares as well.
So in other words, what you're saying is that the likelihood is that these things actually aren't repairable in 6 months, as they say.
Exactly. Because if they were repairable in 6 months and they were, you know, they're sitting in cold reserve waiting to come on stream with a bit of work, and here we are contracting for 20 years, you know, 1,400 megawatts of power ship. I think there would be a case to be made. Well, why don't we bring back these old units? But they're not bringing them back, and perhaps they will never be brought back.
And we are seeing better leadership under Durator from Eskom, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. My view is that he's playing a massive role in doing what can be done. Now, there's certain things that he can do, and there's a lot of things that he can't do. So, for example, he can't go out and procure new generation capacity. That is not within his power and authority. That is supposed to be the competence of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. Not that I don't think they have a lot of competence, but it is supposed to be their role, and the minister is in control of new procurement through the legislation. So, and there's also not a lot that he can do really about the debt except pay it back. Frankly, it's a shareholder issue. It's in the hands of Treasury and the Department of Public Enterprises, to manage that debt or to decide what to do with it. But there are things that he can do. For example, he can continue doing maintenance to the best of his ability within the financial resources of the business. He can cut costs, and that is what he's doing aggressively at the moment. First of all, through, the wage negotiations at the moment. Second of all, through natural attrition and retrenchment, voluntary retrenchment packages reduce the very high cost of Eskom staffing. And thirdly, cut out wasteful expenditure. And we've seen massive steps in this regard by the rate. So, for example, you look at the Oracle scandal, where, Oracle claimed 7 billion rand from Eskom. Eskom said absolute nonsense, and after a bit of a discussion, Oracle agreed to reduce its claim from 7 billion to 400 million. Mm. Well, that's a hell of an achievement. Mm. You know, you just saved 6.6 billion rand, just by doing a bit of work, and that was left to the CEO to do. Not the chief procurement officer who was fired for not doing his job properly. Now, the CEO stepped in and did that. You look at this Econ Oil situation. I think it was an 8 billion rand contract irregularly placed, that he's, the courts recently ruled that it was irregular, and the Rater had cancelled that contract, but then came under massive political pressure, people claiming victimization and racism. And
He's had a fight everywhere, every step along the way.
He's fighting
I tend to agree with you. What I'm seeing, certainly as are you, but you're knowledgeable. I'm just watching it from a little bit further of a distance, is that we are seeing some improvements. I do need to leave it there. Chris Yerland, thank you for taking the time to speak to us.